This media is brought to you by Polyscope.
I'm Cassie Bishop.
And I'm Ray Turing.
Dive into the heart of AI innovation with us on AI Daily.
Bringing you breaking news in AI, unveiling the future as it unfolds.
Subscribe now and stay ahead with AIDaily.us.
Why listen to the past when you can listen to the future? Welcome to the Think Future podcast, broadcasting live from the heart of Silicon Valley, California. We focus on AI, startups, humanity, and the future. Not necessarily those, and not necessarily in that order. Here's your host.
All right, well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's great to finally meet you, because this is how we meet each other nowadays, over Zoom. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your organization and what you're passionate about?
All right. So I am running a digital marketing agency since the year 2010. As all of you can probably guess from my accent that I'm Italian, but for the last 17 years, I'm based in Dubai. And to be honest, initially I was struggling. I mean, I'm talking about 14 years ago, to convince organizations that they need digital marketing, because nobody had a clue about what I was talking about. So I was like the crazy guy doing crazy things that nobody understand.
Finally, well, it's like 14 years ago. I can't even imagine what things were like in 14 years ago. What is that, like 2000? No,
2010.
2010. I can't, like, smartphones had just come out, right? A few years prior to that. And people were still selling stuff on web, and everything was web. Most things were web-based, right? And was there any social media at the time? I guess Facebook had been around for a couple of years, but that's about it.
Yes, as Barack Obama managed, thanks to social media, to become a president, that has been a world-recognized success. And I was lucky because I met one of the guys that was behind his campaign.
Cool.
So then I realized that this was a great field to be into. And actually, the first time where I launched a digital marketing campaign was in the year 2003.
So that was 21 years ago.
Yes. And at the time, I was working for Oracle, the database company, the Fortune 500. And again, that was even more a challenge to explain people why they need to pay Google, since Google was free and everyone knows it. And that's how I started.
Yeah, no, I remember in 2003, I was working for a web design company. And that's when we used to be able to charge $1 million to do one web page. It was great. The times were fantastic.
Yes, indeed. I was just before working for Telecom Italia, and we were doing the same, charging crazy money for Telecom Italia clients to do their web page. Back in the days, I really realized, even if you have an amazing website, our winning website, nobody's going to know it. So you need to advertise the website. Yeah.
Well, there was a period of time where it was easy to find sites because there wasn't that many out there, right? And then after a while, it started to, the more sites were out there. And then I remember Yahoo being sort of like hand-curated search engine at one point, right? And it was easy to find sites then because there were so few of them. And now there's just so many of them, it's impossible.
Yes. I'm glad that you still remember. Yes, indeed. And Yahoo, they used to have a big team of people in indexing the websites manually one by one. And it was easy. Now, a few years later, become impossible. And that's why the first search engine was Alta Vista, and I was shockingly surprised. And then when Google came in, basically it was another game. Since
I loved Alta Vista, I thought it was great.
The only problem is that after some time they become greedy and they start adding advertising banners everywhere.
Yeah.
And SEO experts, so really back in the days, they realized that the best way to get first, if you have any porn material, was search engine. And at a certain stage, whatever I was searching, the results was full of porn websites. So that's how I realized, man, what's going on here? And when Google came in,
how do you get seen above? So even in 2010, it was hard for you for your website to be seen by people. Is that true? Like even then, it was difficult. Is that why you decided to start the business?
It was relatively easy before Google, because Google came in with a page ranking and many other systems that completely get rid of a lot of crap. And that's how the game changed. And in a couple of years, every other search engine pretty much disappeared.
Yeah. But it's kind of like they own the market now. So if you're not visible through Google, you're kind of out of luck, right?
Yes. You don't exist or you're a dodgy company. So that's absolutely true. But we reached the point that we trust Google so much that we trust Google more than our brother, father, mother, sister, even more than our doctor.
That happened to me once. My kids were talking about something and they needed an answer to something. And I saw them walking towards me and I thought, oh, they're going to ask me a question. And they walked right past me and said, let's ask Google.
Now like, we don't have any more.
Google's your dad now.
Exactly. Unfortunately. Or even GPT. So that's the next.
Exactly. So you must have seen a lot of kids.
And I start telling my kids about GPT. Not too much. They are 8 and 9 years old. So I want them to use their brain to do the homework and stuff like this. But I told them, I registered for the free accounts. And one of my sonny told me, you know, Dad, sometimes I ask things to GPT and he's right. I say, what are you asking? Yeah, which Pokemon is the strongest? Is it Pikachu or whatever other name it is? And even they can get an answer about that. So there are no limits to what GPT and AI can do nowadays.
GPT knows everything. It knows everything.
Exactly, even about Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. So you've seen a lot of transition then since 2010 to today. I mean, what would you say is the biggest trend that's occurring?
I mean, I noticed that every 2 or 3 years or even less, there is a mega trend that is revolutionizing the market. Mm-hmm. That's why back in the days, just before opening my own agency, I was already creating my own strategy that I'm using it for 15 years unchanged. There are very little adjustment every now and then, but it's based on 5 pillars. And that's what I've been doing for the last 14 years, basically finding a way that can resist over time. So what I call it, a future-proof strategy, because otherwise it's a problem that every organization, every year, there is a new big trend, a new big company, a new Silicon Valley.
Yeah, and everybody just latches on the trend and they ride the trend for a bit. And then there's another, do you remember it was like, it was crypto at one point and now it's AI. And it's like, there's always some new trend that everybody jumps on, but you literally have a strategy that you haven't changed in 15 years and it's still working.
Years.
Wow.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And I can say that for another 10 years, it's going to last. When people say, oh, the metaverse is going to revolutionize the world, everything is going to change. And I was thinking, in my strategy, the metaverse is just going to be one little piece of the bigger chunk.
Wow.
And then Apple Vision Pro is going to revolutionize how we work and think and do this and that and this and that. Again, just another piece of things. And no big deal. So since I noticed the same when Facebook came in and when Instagram came in, when YouTube came in, before that, when Google came in. But still, it was basically working in the same way, including the fact that most of the strategy that I've seen, they put at the center the website or your landing page. Mm-hmm. And for me, even that, it's a wrong conception.
Because that's what everybody says. Everybody says you need a landing page, like a focused landing page to drive your marketing to. So that's wrong? You're saying that that's incorrect?
Not necessarily. I mean, you may have it, but again, and it's just another piece. And then what's happening is that, and I see more and more and more with the younger generation, they love a platform. And once you move them out of it, they feel uncomfortable. So the Facebook lover, when you send them on a website, they drop 99% of the time. And again, the YouTubers, you move to a web page, they drop. The TikToker, you move to a web page, they drop. So you need to have a platform which is exactly, I mean, you stay in, and now many platforms, they allow you to build a kind of landing page in their own platform. Otherwise, you need to have a landing page that looks exactly like the platform itself. Like TikTok or Facebook or something like this. That's what keeps people confident that they are in the same place. They're not going to go somewhere else in a website that they don't know, with colors, with icon, with font different than what they got used to. So that's what I notice. And it makes a lot of sense. So again, doesn't mean that everything else does not work. It means that there are a certain amount of, I call it the windows. So where you are showcasing your product and services, that doesn't need to be necessarily your website. And then again, if you are a restaurant and using a food aggregator like Uber Eats, that I'm sure that it's available worldwide, There are many other food aggregators in every country. You may not even have a web page because your customer, they know Uber Eats and they order, they see your food and they order your food from Uber Eats. Yep. What is Uber Eats? Just another Windows of yours.
Yeah.
So that's,
well, I had this thought a while back is that with the proliferation of all these platforms, do businesses even really need their own website as long as they have sort of visibility on all these platforms?
I mean, obviously, I recommend always to have one because you need to have a company. You need to, at the same time, gain trust towards your customers.
Right. Otherwise, so it's more of a trust thing than actually selling anything. It's just that let me go check this company to see if they're legit. If they have a legitimate website that looks reasonably modern, then. But a lot of people won't even go that far, right? Because they'll just purchase in Facebook or they'll purchase in Uber Eats or they'll purchase in whatever platform they happen to be in.
Yeah, or they ask you a question in one of the platform and then they interact with your team from the platform itself until they're ready to buy. And then maybe when they need to buy, you send them a link or something like this. But again, the website is not the centerpiece of any company anymore. It's just one of the several windows that your company have. Like you have a shop, you have a shop in every shopping mall, in every town of the United States or any country, etc. You have one local digital presence in any one of the digital assets or digital shopping mall. As I say, every social media network is one of them. And then that's basically is how I structure the things for the long run. Then, of course, the funnel is also important, but the funnel doesn't only necessarily work in your own website. You can have a funnel working even inside Google My Business. So you have your local shop, your local business, etc., or even international business running on Google My Business page. And what it is, it's another windows to your product and services.
Right.
And that's exactly what I envisioned so many years ago. And that's still what I'm doing.
That's really interesting. So which one of these five pillars is that? Is that one of the five pillars is to have the on every platform?
Exactly. Yes. And so, then one of them is the traffic, because clearly without traffic, we are absolutely nothing. And again, I started 21 years ago to get traffic from Google Ads. And I was the only person working in any Fortune 500 doing that. Now, I mean, back in the days, I used to pay 1 cent of dollar per click, no matter what search, what keyword you were.
Yes, I remember those days when it was actually cheap to advertise. Yeah.
But can you believe that any company I was speaking with, nobody got it. Nobody wanted to even try, not even do a test run. I mean, I was overly shocked. That's and then realize what's the best way to convince the world. I'm going to teach them. So then they're going to know that they know nothing and they need it. And that's exactly what I did.
So I love
that's
it.
Why I become a lecturer.
So you have paid traffic.
Et cetera.
Are you ignoring SEO completely? Or are you saying that that's like a, I mean, is, SEO, this a is this another pillar?
No. Actually, when I say traffic, I mean it's organic traffic and paid traffic.
Right.
I mean, most of the organization, they do like 5, 6, or 7 traffic source. But actually, we count more than 1,500 traffic tactic. Mm. And I'm sure that there are more because every single day, there is some crazy person working somewhere, waking up and finding out a better, faster, cheaper, stronger way to get traffic to your company.
But so traffic is not still paid traffic. Still paid traffic is probably the best way, right? I mean, as long as you've got the money, as long as you've got a budget.
It always depends. It depends on the ROI that you are able to pull out. Because if it costs you $10 and you get $9 out of it, you're just losing money. You cannot run the show.
Exactly.
And but it's obviously it's one of the fundamental components. And then after the windows, then you get the sales system. So basically, how you're gonna convert a visitor into a client. Now, if you are a B2C. You can sell online. If you're a B2B, you generate a lead. But even after you generate a lead, you need to keep nurturing the lead.
Right.
Otherwise, the conversion, I mean, the sales team is going to convert very few. And they're not going to make big bucks. And so the sales system basically is responsible for the conversion, which include as well the funnel. But if we look a little bit more in a wide vision, it's include the full customer journey from A to Z.
So I've heard that the number of touch points that you need with a client or a customer or a prospect to get them to sell has basically gone up a lot, right? It used to be like 5 and then it's 7 and 9. Now I hear it's like 15, 20. What's your experience in that case?
That's a great question. It depends as well on the type of product and again on the trust that the brand has with you. So if you want to buy the new iPhone, you don't go anywhere. You just go to the Apple shop, queuing up and buy the iPhone. You don't need any touch point.
No funnel required.
Exactly. But if we come out with a Chris and Chris mobile phone, of course, it's going to be much tougher than queuing up on a Chris shop phone. So that's required more interactions. And then we say that, talking about communication, you should see the message from three different sources, at least, in order to feel your brain overwhelmed with the brand. So that's why there are typically social media or then a few other portals, websites, and maybe Google. So there should be at least three sources where you perceive the brand around. Because every time when you see the brand, you feel like, oh, I think it's nice. And then you go somewhere else. Then you see that somewhere else. Then you think, I think I've heard about that brand. I think it's cool. And then sometime maybe you search and you see the name and you click and you feel that you are doing the right choice because you've been pre-programmed to do that.
So you have to see it on multiple platforms.
Yeah.
It sounds like a rich man's game, though. You've got to pay for traffic on all these platforms. Is that correct?
Yes, but actually you get much better result instead of dedicating, let's say, $10,000 on one platform. If you dedicate 3,333 in three platform, you get much better results because your brain gets fooled by every one of them that you feel like you have seen it somewhere. And then you feel you've seen it somewhere. And that's coming back to the old days when there was only TV and we were seeing the same ads over and over and over and over 50 times a day.
Right.
Until finally we get convinced that the brand was good because we got brainwashed. Now we expect that with one impression, one click, one conversion. Come on.
So now you see it. Now you have to see it. So you have to see it on Facebook and you have to see it on Twitter and you have to see it on Google and you have to see it on TikTok and Instagram. So all of your clients, it seems like they have to have a pretty wide footprint.
True. Especially because every platform is a little bit different. So you should have a little bit of adjustments on the message, not just shooting the same stuff over and over and over everywhere. But I mean, every platform has his own adjustment required.
Right. And then, of course, every platform is targeted to different people. So you're not going to, are you going to do B2B ads on TikTok? Probably not. Right.
I mean, actually, yes, you can. It's not always easy to target B2B, for example, in every platform, especially TikTok. But you can do a kind of remarketing or something like this, remarketing, retargeting. And then you can pray that the same person is going to watch that. Because as much as everyone believes that TikTok is for kids, I mean, if I sit next to my kids, they open TikTok and immediately they see the stupid guy doing stupid things.
That's right.
I'm sitting
exactly
next
who you
to
don't
them.
Want your kids seeing.
Exactly. But this is what adults and business people, they're still reluctant about TikTok. When I open TikTok, I see thought leaders. And in 30 seconds, in 60 seconds, they give me the latest of the latest of the latest tips that I don't need to go anywhere else. Just open TikTok, wait 2-3 minutes, that's it. And I got the news of the day in digital marketing, AI, and whatever sector you need.
Yeah, obviously, I think it's highly underrated. I think people have this impression that TikTok is just, you know, a bunch of people doing a bunch of stupid things, but they are AI driven. So they do have, they know exactly the kind of things that you're interested in, right?
Yeah. And actually I see a big difference between the YouTube Shorts, which is the kind of, apparently the copycat of TikTok, and TikTok. So in YouTube Shorts, I see only entertaining video, 100% entertaining. They're nice, they catch my attention, but they give me zero value.
Right.
While in TikTok, I get the value. So I get the thought leader, they gave me the top 5 tips, the best things, what's happened. Oh, you know what's happened yesterday in TikTok? Oh, you know yesterday in Google, what just did? Okay, they're doing it in a TikTok way. You cannot say, dear ladies and gentlemen, yesterday Google announced. No way, in TikTok.
Why is everyone always
TikTok
yelling
style.
At the screen?
TikTok
it
style.
Seems to me that everyone's like yelling at their phone. Yelling at the screen.
Exactly.
The more gesticulations and yelling they can do, it's like,
hey, you know what happened yesterday? Google is getting insane. Ah!
Exactly.
And they tell you the same thing that you can, but at least in 10 seconds, I got the news of the day about Google. That's it.
Exactly.
Done. I don't need to read anything. I don't need to watch any video. Done. In 10 seconds, I got the news.
You gave me an idea. I think I'm going to do a TikTok channel for one of my channels now. I was like, but I have to do the crazy.
Exactly. You only need to move a lot and talk a lot and shout a lot and have
but
a
I'm
lot
Greek,
of
But I'm Greek, so I can easily talk with my hands. And I like,
exactly. That's all perfect. Otherwise, you see people doing a serious video on top and placing a game on the bottom, like one of those funny games, like the car jumping and doing crazy stuff.
Yeah,
and you get hooked with the game.
Exactly.
And at the same time, you listen to the serious guy talking on top. So there are no limits about how to brainwash
the attention. So I think I think we're on pillar three, right? That was the third one. So you have two more.
Yes. Now, after you got the conversion, then you think that's okay. Now we're happy. We can go holiday. We can.
Oh,
retire.
We got a customer. We don't need to do anything else.
Apparently,
customer
but in reality, most of the time, once you get a client, you don't cover the cost of client acquisition. Mm. It depends, but most of the time you don't.
Yeah.
So the next step is to how to keep the customer loyal. And then again, tactics to make sure that he come back and he buy again. And not only that, but how to make the customer loving you so much that they're gonna give you word of mouth.
Mm.
And that one of the best ways is convince the customer to give you a testimonial, to leave a review, to leave a comment, to comment in social media. Any activity which is gonna make the customer talk about your product.
Right. Even if it's not necessarily positive, right? You just need them to engage with your product,
course,
and talk about your product.
Of course, if it's a negative, then you kill your customer.
No, but if it's negative, you can actually work with them to turn them into a positive customer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And obviously, that's what makes more customer coming to you, because word of mouth is always the strongest marketing tactic.
Right.
But it's not easy to manage. I cannot just survive from word of mouth. If today nobody's talking about me, I am jobless, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we need the other tactics as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then after word of mouth, basically, that's the cheapest way to generate traffic again for your activity, for your campaign. What keeps these four pillars that we discuss all together? So again, traffic, windows, sales system, and loyalty and advocacy. What keeps them together? Analytics.
Mm.
So data, KPI. Making sure that we can measure the ROI of every single activity, every single bubble around. And that's bottom line, how we close the circle. And now we can go on for a decade.
Right. And those are unchanged since you first started. But I mean, back when you first started, there was only a few platforms. So it was a lot easier
to
manage.
A few channels. Few channels, few traffic source. Then again, doesn't mean that you need to use all of the 1,500 traffic source.
Right.
Now, the point is to select those where your target audience is going to spend most of the time.
Mm.
Because we can say that Facebook is the largest social media, but how many decision makers are actively looking at Facebook every day?
Not especially so when you're doing B2B, right? I mean, you're not going to have...
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone has it. Even the CEOs of Coca-Cola and the CEOs of Microsoft.
Oh, everyone uses Facebook.
CEO has a Facebook account.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't mean that they open it. Or maybe they open it just 1 minute just to see what their uncle or brother or sister or kids they are doing. That's it. They close it. Instead of going out and smoke a cigarette, they open Facebook and they spend 2 minutes watching it and close it.
Both at the same time. They open a cigarette and Facebook.
That could be. So that's why, by the fact that they have it, doesn't mean that they are going to actively looking for suppliers that they get an advisor from Facebook.
Right.
So there are other platforms where you can get them. And obviously, LinkedIn, email, etc., and Google, SEO, articles, news, PR, digital PR. There are other tactics to get CEOs or senior executives or decision makers, etc. And that's how it's very important. And that's still part of the sales system to find out, to craft your online persona, the perfect target audience, so you can really select the right people rather than, I've heard that Snapchat is amazing. Hey, we need to do Snapchat. Yeah. And I got a client that they were running an healthcare company, and we were running their campaign for several years. And then they start saying, we need to do Snapchat. I say, look, for your type of business, Snapchat is totally it's not going to work.
It's not for you.
No. We have a friend that is running an agency, and then we have another friend. He has a restaurant. He gets full of clients from Snapchat. It's a success. I said, okay, if you want to try. But I told you that. So they launch a campaign. After the months, it comes to the review meeting, and they told me, you see, we got 50,000 visitors, 50,000 clicks from Snapchat. So it was a success. And
you
say, okay, let's see inside. Let's see in analytics what they say. And the real visitor were 10,000.
Yeah.
So Yep. You pay 50,000 clicks and you get 10,000 visitors.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened to the other 40,000? They got lost. I mean, they and immediately they change their mind. Nobody knows. Not only that, when I start tracking the conversion from Snapchat, the leads were one.
Wow.
One.
Wow.
Out of 10,000 visitors, one lead.
And 50,000 clicks. That's
and
ridiculous.
50,000 clicks. So, and then I told them, so what, are you looking to continue for another month? Actually, maybe not this time.
Yeah, maybe not.
That's fine. I mean, you can do your trial, you can do your test. That's fine. Nobody knows the results of a platform, of a new platform, if you don't try. You allocate 10% of the budget, nobody's going to die.
Yeah.
But after 1 or 2 months, if you see that nothing happened, then maybe it's time to leave it and go somewhere else.
Exactly. Well, it's time to think like a futurist. It's the year 2034, 10 years from now. Do you think this model that's been going strong for the last 15 years is going to still be around in 10 years? Or do you think that things are going to change?
Yes.
So everything's going to be exact. You're going to have a lot more platforms out there that people are going to be on. But the same core thing is going to change. At what point does it get sort of so totally unwieldy? Because it seems like there's going to be, we're already at the point where it's kind of unwieldy. Like if you have a B2C product, you've got to put a ton of effort into a lot of different platforms. And is this just going to keep getting more and more exponential?
Yes, I believe so. And also, I believe that successful companies are already taking their senior executives and convert them into personal brand.
Mm.
Even, I mean, it doesn't take much effort since if you are a CEO, you don't need to start posting stuff, et cetera, et cetera. There's going to be people posting for you on your behalf.
Of course.
But the type of post that goes on from the CEO are not the content from marketing. This is something completely different. You are a leader. You are a thought leader. You are somebody that people want to follow. So that's why I believe that C-level executives, even the CFO, which traditionally is somebody that never, ever, ever posts in his own life. But if you see a CFO posting cool stuff, then people are going to think, wow. And who is going to follow potentially the CFO? Investors.
Mm.
So people that eventually are going to buy the stocks of your company.
Right.
So all of this add up to the windows, to another level. Because aside of having just your product and your service, then you have your thought leader inside your company. And then some of them will become the key person of influence. Somebody like Elon Musk.
I'm seeing a lot of dollar signs here. There's a lot. It's like, what about the poor individual startup or the small startup? They can't afford this game, can they? I mean, how do they afford this game? The small startups.
They have no chance. They're going to die all. I'm joking.
Seriously?
Actually, some of the startups are more successful than the big company because they start with the human figure.
Mm.
They start with the founder. And the vision of the founder is the one that drags everything else.
Right.
So that's the important part. You don't have the money to build a mega brand, to hire a mega agency, et cetera, et cetera. So either you find out a way to partner up with somebody that can do it for you or with you, or again, you need to become a public figure first.
So I've always thought that was the case, is that we're in the era now where your business, the business that you create doesn't matter, or business and the product that you create doesn't matter as much as the building the audience. Like you build the audience first for the founder, and then the founder can do whatever, you know, they can come out with whatever product and then another product, but people are following the founder, not the product itself. So are we in that era now?
Actually, kind of, because we're in a phase where it becomes difficult to get the attention of our audience. That's not a secret. Everyone is saying that Gary Vaynerchuk and every big guy out there.
People going like this.
And I can see actually now going more and more and more dark, dark social. So by saying bad things, bad stuff, insulting people, et cetera, just to get the attention. And then twist them around. And then again, sell your stuff and say, no, I don't mean that. No, it was just a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what I see it's coming. Because once the attention becomes saturated, then become difficult to get it. And then those influencers that they get the attention, they're the one ruling the planet. I mean, we've seen Mr. Beast, how many businesses he is running.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That guy, I mean, I still remember that when he first went onto Twitter or X, and then he put up a video and got like a million views and made like $250,000 in one day. And I'm like, people are like, oh my God, how come we can't make that much money? But he has a platform everywhere else. All he did was drive his subscribers to X and go, oh, here, watch my video on here. Okay.
Yeah. And actually, the funny things is that when I saw that Kim Kardashian launched the investment fund together in partnership with JP Morgan, then is when I was thinking, what? So now Kim Kardashian is an expert in investments, and everyone ready to give her money. Please invest my money.
You can tell it's the end of the world when that starts happening.
Exactly. But that's what's going on. At least she was so smart that realized, I can capitalize on every possible opportunity. I'm not going to leave anything on the table. Yeah. Whatever. Give me whatever. Let's sell water, dust, bean, whatever we can under the brand of Kim Kardashian, because nobody knows if the brand is going to last forever like every other person. And so you want to capitalize as fast as possible, as much as possible. So that was very smart. At the same way, we understand that even, Mr. Beast, they ask him, so would you be happy to sell all of your channel and brands for $1 billion? Mm-hmm. And he say, no. A few months later, he launched his own burger joints.
Yeah.
Now his brand is worth more than $20 billion. So,
exactly.
A personal brand worth so much, so fast, it's impressive, and I must say.
Yeah. And I don't really watch that stuff, but I got sucked into this one thing that he did where he bought a grocery store and he had somebody stuck in the grocery store for 30 days or whatever, like stay in the grocery store for 6 months or 3 months or whatever and win $1 million. And it's like, even I got sucked into that. I mean, like, I'm watching this. I'm like, I shouldn't be watching this. I have work to do.
Yeah.
But it was just like, sucked me in. So
it's the next level of reality show, like the Big Brother. One of the
exactly.
things is really people are curious about somebody else's life.
Yeah.
And exactly. I endorse very well.
Exactly. Well, this has been great. Thank you so much. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
You can go to farioli.com. It's my surname.com. And there you will get everything. I really recommend you guys at least to click and connect to my YouTube channel and to my LinkedIn, because that is where I post most of the great stuff. And then if you need any advice or something from farioli.com, you will get as well even my personal WhatsApp. So at least I can see who you are. Don't try to sell me your investment in real estate, because I'm fed up every day to get people trying to sell me real estate. But aside of it, more than happy to work with each one of you. So farioli.com.
Sounds great. I'll put all the links in the show notes. Thank you so much. It's been great.
That's wonderful. All right, Chris, have a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye-bye.